Let us pray together. God, startle us once again with the power and the intensity of your word. Give our hearts and minds understanding and hope, and fill our ears with meaning and joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We read in this still the season of Easter. We read from John's Gospel, from chapter 10, beginning with verse 22. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The good news of the gospel. So, in the life of the church, today is Shepherd Sunday. And of course, it's also Mother's Day. And that always presents a little bit of a challenge for the church and its leaders. Mother's Day is sweet, and I like to hear from my kids. And it's good for florists and card makers. It's not a holy day, which is where we get the word holiday. It's not a holy day of the church, though. The lectionary never takes us to a great text for Mother's Day. And this year, Mother's Day falls on the liturgical celebration of Shepherd Sunday, which perhaps is quite appropriate. I think a lot of young mothers do a lot of shepherding. But Mother's Day is complicated in other ways. Some women choose not to be mothers. Some women would love to be mothers, and that opportunity never comes to them. Some women become mothers not by choice. And some of us have pretty complicated relationships with our mothers or are estranged from our mothers. So it can be a touchy day. When you think about it, our culture gets a little uptight about some of these things. And then there is this. People become a little uptight when the words mother and God are used in the same sentence. But that's an attitude that developed long after our Bible was written. The biblical writers did not hesitate to think of God as their mother. But somehow, through the long life of the Western Church, and perhaps particularly in American theology, we became mired in exclusively male language for God. To be certain, the Bible uses a lot of male language for God, husband and king and father. But there are a lot of other images of God in the Bible that are more feminine. Psalms 22 calls God a midwife. And Psalms 123 calls God the mistress of a household. Isaiah 42 refers to God as one who gives birth. And Isaiah 66 is this, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." And then Hosea, the prophet, uses some beautiful images of God, some of the prettiest in all of the Bible. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. It was I who taught him to walk. I took them up in my arms. I led them with cords of human kindness. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down and fed them." The Bible would have us use a lot of different names for God and not get trapped into just using one name for God. So in our gospel text today, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Now, it's not the only place in John's gospel where Jesus calls himself a shepherd. In John 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." The image of the shepherd in the Old Testament goes through a transformation by the time we get to the New Testament. God tells the kings of Israel to shepherd his people, And some of those kings turned out to be pretty poor shepherds. We particularly associate that image, that good shepherd image, with King David. And maybe you remember that as the youngest son of Jesse, his daily task as a child was to care for the family sheep. And that's where Samuel, the prophet, found him, out in a field with his father's flock. And he was anointed right there, out in front of all of those sheep and all of his brothers. The youngest son took care of the sheep in a family that had no daughters to do that. It was actually a girl's job. In Genesis 29, we read about the first moment that Jacob saw his beloved Rachel. He'd been traveling and stopped and was talking to some local men near a well, asking about his uncle. And he looked up and he saw her coming. And we read in Genesis 29, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. Women were often shepherds too, and still are. Scriptures like our gospel reading today and our reading from Revelation use a lot of different words to describe God. And this idea of different images for God, the language we use to communicate what we know about God, can be complicated and multifaceted. Shepherds were kings and leaders and warriors in the Old Testament, but by the time of Jesus, shepherds had kind of lost that royal connection. They were pretty lowly and often female, and generally people avoided shepherds because of their unique perfume. Even the author of Revelation mixes those metaphors, trying to describe the risen Christ. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. The Lamb at the center of the throne, their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The shepherd on the royal throne, who will lead them to water. That one sentence references greatness and humility, youth and age, power and powerlessness, male and female. But the real scandal of the way that the Bible describes God, Jesus' own characterization of God, isn't about gender at all. It's not about occupation. It's this idea that God longs for intimacy and kindness and caring and closeness. It's the idea of Rachel leading the family sheep to water. It's Jesus, the good shepherd, leading little Stella Lou to the waters of baptism. And there we, the people of God, take up the role of shepherd and care for her as she grows, keeping her in green pastures. Monarchs were, in our Old Testament, essentially untouchable. Kings are distant and powerful and, we hope, kind, perhaps on occasion, but they are not very vulnerable. The God of the Bible enters into covenants with people, gets intimately involved in their history and their lives and their affairs, and loves and cares so much that God can become angry and heartbroken and grief-stricken when they stray. God is so involved that even the valley of the shadow of death cannot limit God's presence and love. Now, one of my favorite theologians, Sally McVay, writes, "No human love can be perfect, but parental love is the best metaphor we have. Parent, father, mother, all of us, female and male, have the womb as our first home. All of us are born from the bodies of our mothers. All of us are fed by our mothers. What better imagery could there be for expressing the most basic reality of existence, that we live and move and have our being in God?" All metaphors are limited. Not all women are mothers. Not all mothers are loving and life-giving. Not all men are fathers, not all fathers are strong and faithful. Some mothers abandon their babies, some fathers abuse their children. Language is limited. If the only language we have for God is masculine, some are left out. So yes, we do, for the health of our theology and our relationship with God, we loosen up and break out or open the windows and doors of our theological house, and we find some new words to describe God and to describe our relationship with God. God as mother, for instance. God as she. Recently, Rick and I attended a continuing education event where the metaphors for God were plentiful, but they were also fresh and abundant and cosmic in scope, rich and challenging. They ask us to think about God much bigger and much more mysterious, eternal limitlessness, infinite. Our lecturer that week kept asking the crowd with a huge smile on his face, "What is half of infinity?" Well, it's infinity. And what is half of that? Well, it's infinity. God is greater than our doctrines or our denominations. God calls us beyond and out of our limits. But the real challenge of this biblical concept of God, the real biblical surprise, is its intimacy. Jesus destabilized the traditional theology of his people and the religious leaders by suggesting that God was a lot less interested in following the rules and righteousness based on keeping oneself pure and holy than he was in love and forgiveness and acceptance. Jesus challenged the static theology of his day, a God who is king and judge, with pictures of God as a father running down the road to welcome a wandering child home, God as a woman turning her household inside out, searching for one lost coin, God as a banquet host, welcoming outsiders and outcasts to the table, God as a mother hen gathering her chicks under her wings, God as a mother lifting a child to her cheek, leaning down to feed her child. God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ proclaims, loves each one of us personally, intimately, as if we were a precious only child. God, we believe, has come among us, lived our life, died our death in Jesus Christ, God's Son, God's child. And Christian faith, Christian life, is not a matter of believing ideas so much as it is living a deepening relationship with God, our Father, our Mother. Words are limited, but God's love is boundless. So Jesus describes himself as a shepherd in our gospel lesson, then goes on to say something that seemed like heresy to those that John says were listening that day. He says, "The Father and I are one." Jesus claims divinity, perhaps, in John's gospel, but Jesus also knew every man and woman and child, like himself, is created in the divine image of God, and has that potential for relationship with God, the potential to understand both ourselves and others around us as divine, and that incredible idea that we are all family, that we are all mother and father and sisters and brothers, siblings in a cosmic family bound in love, is truly good news. It makes this day a holy day. A holiday. So spend it looking for the image of the divine in one another. Happy Shepherd's Sunday.